glad to have Brother Bales with us. He's been a longtime friend of our church. He is with BIMI, and he helps oversee their Reseeding America ministry with planting churches and getting churches going. And so he was in the area for a little bit, and he was going to be with us, and so I asked him if he'd preach for us. And so we're honored to have him tonight. Let's give Brother Bales a warm Pacific Baptist welcome.
All right, it's good to be back here. We were here a few services back, and we've enjoyed your fellowship. And I might start off by having, pardon me, recognizing my wife, because without her, I would have no ministry. And we've been together 61 years.
Amen.
As of several Sundays, but we celebrated our 61st anniversary right here on June the 23rd.
Amen.
So this, you folks are a special place for us because we knew about this church because I was Brother Esposito's director when he came with BIMI.
Oh.
And we came out here often, kept up with everything the church was doing. And it's just exciting to see what God has done here. And of course, not just here, but in other places as a result of this church.
Yes, sir.
And what a blessing it is to be here with you tonight. I have some cards somewhere in the back. What table? I don't know where they put them. They put them, there they are, back there on the table back there. That's okay. I don't need them. I just wanted to let everybody know where they are, and next to the sound booth. Some little prayer cards. They're little miniature prayer cards. So we would like for you to get one of those and pray for us.
Absolutely.
And the reason is because we depend upon prayer.
Yep.
And we need prayer. I celebrated my 81st birthday in March, and we thought we would slow down a little bit, but we haven't. And so last Sunday, we were at Merced with Brother Andy Doss, a church that we worked with when he was planting his church about 15 years ago, and then went back almost every year to hold a missions conference for him. And how God's blessing that church. We haven't been there in a couple of years and had a man saved. Right at the conclusion of the service, sometimes you have to ask people where they are spiritually, right? And to find out where they are. And he was in the service. I saw him under conviction. So when he came out the door, I asked him if he had a church. He said, no. I said, are you a member of a church? He said, no. I said, has anybody ever taken a Bible and shown you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven? He said, no. I said, would you let someone do that? Yes. And he got saved.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that.
Yeah.
And then on the way out here, we had a couple get saved in Las Cruces, New Mexico, came forward in the service. They came to see a baptism, and they both got saved.
Yeah.
And so, praise the Lord. God's still saving people, and people need to be saved. Amen? Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to be looking at this passage. And I know that we're short on time tonight, so I'll try to speak as rapidly as I can. I used to speak more rapidly when I was younger, but it seems like I've lost the volume of my voice and I've lost the speed of my being able to speak. But we'll do what we can, okay? I thank the pastor for allowing me the opportunity to speak here. We love you folks, and we certainly love your pastor, but we also love Brother Joe so much. And what a blessing is we pray for him. I pray for him all continuously. And that's what Paul's talking about here in 1 Thessalonians. When you find your place, if you would stand with me, please. And we're looking at chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to just begin reading in verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all. Paul was a Southerner. Making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. I'd like to speak to you about a church that is worthy of being remembered.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, we ask you now to do your work in our hearts. We thank you for your precious word. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Father, that you will enlighten our minds and hearts and give us something that we can hold on to, take with us, and use along the way to bring glory to you. And we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Be seated, please. Paul speaking here, he says, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." Paul did not just leave Thessalonica and say, "That's the end of that. I don't need to worry about those folks anymore." No, he said, "I continue to pray. I continue to pray for you." And if there's anything that I think Christians fail to do, and that's pray. I have long believed in shooting up prayers. The only way you can pray without ceasing is just pray when God brings something to your mind and pray. I remember, how many of you ever heard of Dr. Lee Robertson?
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Lee Robertson was pastor of Highland Park Baptist Church, president of, founder of Tennessee Temple Bible College. And he was my mentor. And the thing I appreciate about Dr. Robertson, it didn't make a difference where you caught him. If you stopped him on the street and you mentioned something to him, he said, "Let's pray about that." And he would pray. And sitting in his class, he said, "Men, you need to pray often with people."
Yeah.
People are struggling. People have problems. People have heartaches. And you need to pray as often as you can with people. And so I believe that's one of the keys. In fact, did not Jesus say, "Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth more laborers into the harvest"? He knew there was a shortage of laborers. There's still a shortage of laborers. And that should be one of our number one prayer requests. And notice, Paul says, remembering without ceasing. What happened here in Thessalonica was something that caused the Apostle Paul to have it indelibly marked on his memory and on his heart. I want you to think about this for a moment. Hold your place, go back to Acts chapter 17, and you'll remember that Acts 17 is right after Acts 16. And in Acts 16, we will not read that, but in Acts 16 is where the Apostle Paul was directed by the Holy Spirit to go to Philippi. As a result, people got saved. He and Silas got put into prison, and they were beaten. They had stripes. They were mistreated. And yet, it says at midnight, they sang and praised God. Now, I'll tell you what, there's been some times that I've hurt so bad I didn't feel like praising God. But Paul had something about him. Look at chapter 17. He says, by the way, he says over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I believe it is, he talks about how he was shamefully entreated by the Philippians. He said, "We were shamefully entreated, but that did not stop us from coming to you, coming to where you are." Nothing should stop us. And I heard a man preach a message one time, said, "What does it take to stop you?" Think about that. What does it take to stop you? You know, if there were not some people who had stopped already, our churches would be overflowing. People are stopping. They're stopping all across the United States, all around the world. Christians are stopping. But Paul could not be stopped. We need to have that mind. look with me at chapter 17 and look at verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, notice this, as his manner was. As his manner was. Do you know, there are people who probably know you and they'd say, you know what? I would know that guy anywhere, anytime. I could tell you what he's going to do next. Do you know that we have manners about us that people learn, and they learn that we are hard workers. They learn that we are lazy. They learn that we have character. They learn that we cheat. People learn things about us. And what they were saying here about Paul was that Paul, as his manner was. What was his manner? Look what it says. As his manner was, went in unto them in the synagogue, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. He got up there early, and he stayed late probably. And he reasoned with them and reasoned with them and reasoned with them. What did he reason with them about? Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. We can talk to people about a lot of different things, but the most important thing we can talk to people about is Jesus.
Amen.
And his saving power. He is the Christ. So Paul's manner was to always bring Christ to the forefront.
Amen.
And we need to do that. Can I get a drink of water, please? And so, Paul, look what happened as a result of it. He says, opening alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. And of the devout Greeks, a great multitude. And of the chief women, not a few. Isn't that interesting? Of the chief women, not a few. What is a chief woman? I'll tell you what I think. The chief women were. These were women who were devout, women who were sincere,
yes,
women who were full of faith,
yep,
who were ready to serve. Do you realize that our churches cannot function without chief women?
Right.
The very first church I pastored was in a dump of a building. There was only one couple and some children who were faithful, and one other couple that would come off and on. I started preaching there. I'm not even going to describe the building. I don't have time to tell you about it, but it was a dump. And Mrs. Burgess, who was the woman, the only one, her husband could not read nor write, but he would come faithfully. She taught those children. That's all there was of the church at that time. And she said, Brother Bales, we need a building. I thought, I'm carrying 15 semester hours at Tennessee Temple. I'm working part-time. There's no way we can build a building. So I thought I would make an excuse. I said, I'll tell you what. I said, this building holds about 60 people. When we fill this building up, then we'll talk about a building. Do you know in 6 months, with me out there knocking doors and her inviting people, we had 60 people?
Come on.
She said, Brother Bales, we need a building. I said, we don't have any money. She said, we've got $4,000. I thought to myself, $4,000, not going to put a building up? I thought, I'll go out and get the prices of some property and come back and tell her how expensive property is, and then she'll give up on this. But about the time I was going to do that, she said, well, there's a piece of property right around the corner here. It belongs to a couple who's going to build a house there after they got older, a retirement home, and a home to retire in. And she gave me the address of the people, the name of the people. She said, why don't you go down and ask them what they're going to do with that property? I went down there, and they found it was going to be a church. We wanted to put a church on it. They said, we'll give you that property for what we paid for it years ago, $3,000. We still had $1,000 to work with after we bought that. And we built that building in a year and a half, week by week. We had very poor people. But you know, by the time we got in that building, we had 10 men in the church. We had about 70 in attendance. And there's so many things I could tell you. We had a revival meeting in that church the day we moved in and had it for 8 days. 43 souls got saved that week.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. God blesses faith. Yep. I was not running on my faith. I was running on Mrs. Burgess's faith. She was in her 60s. When they were out there putting those blocks up, she was out there mixing mortar for them. She wanted to see that building up. Folks, let me tell you something. There are some good women in our churches across this land. You need to pray for the women as well as the men. Amen?
Absolutely.
And so, go back to 1 Thessalonians with me. And notice what Paul says here. 3 points to this message. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith. What's he talking about there? Your work of faith. Well, hold your spot there and go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And look with me at verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Now here's a famous question that many people across the world have been asking for centuries. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, read it with me out loud. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. The very first work of God is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen? And then it doesn't end there. That's just where it begins. We not only believe for salvation, but we believe for living. We live by faith.
Amen.
We walk by faith. We give in faith. We love in faith. Everything we do in the Christian realm, we do it by faith, just like you do when you walk into a room and flip a light switch. You do it in faith, believing the light's going to come on. The more faith that you exert, you exercise, the greater your faith is going to become. That act of faith that we exercise there in Dalton, Georgia, in that little church, became a foundation for my faith. However, Jesus was already the foundation. But from that point on, I never doubted that God can do anything.
Yep.
My friend, God can do all things for those who will believe.
Amen.
Amen? Yep. Notice, he talks about this salvation by faith. Verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. The Apostle Paul relates here how they got saved, and he said it wasn't by our power. It was by the power of the Holy Spirit. We should never, you ever hear somebody say, they got me saved? No. We don't get anybody saved.
Yep.
It is the power of the Holy Spirit of God that saves people. I cannot boast about anybody getting saved when I share the gospel with them. I can boast about Christ saving them. I can boast about the precious word of God and the power of it. But I cannot boast in what I get, what I, my opinion or whatever. We all should have a testimony though, right? We should have a testimony. And our testimony is powerful if it's in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so we see Paul was not able to cease remembering their work of faith. And then he says in verse 3, and labor of love. Look what it says here in verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. And I want you to notice here that in order to be a good example, like it says in verse 7, you have to follow a good example. That's what discipleship is about. You don't follow someone who's not following the Lord.
Amen.
You follow somebody who's following the Lord. It's that simple.
Yes, sir.
And we need to do that. We need to be careful, because we can start following somebody that's following the Lord, and next thing you know, they're not following the Lord. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. And if we do that, Jesus can lead us into the light and through the nights, through the difficult times, and guide our path so that we can be a glory to him.
Amen.
Notice also, he says, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. These folks were not just sitting still. They were not just hanging around Thessalonica. They were going out into all these other places and sharing their testimony. He says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. Now that's what you folks do here, by sending out missionaries, right?
Yep.
Your faith is spread abroad. Paul said over there in Romans, he said, your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And a church that supports missions and is faithful in doing so, their faith is going to be spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, notice that what we're talking about here is their work of faith and then their labor of love. Why were they doing all of this? Because they had got gloriously saved. They fell in love with Christ, and they just wanted to tell everybody about him. Do you remember a day like that in your life?
Oh, yeah.
And so they just started taking the word of God everywhere because they love the Lord. And if you love the Lord, you'll want to do that too. And then I want you to notice also the third thing here in verse 3. It says, and your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. The wonderful thing about going to Highland Park Baptist Church and being educated there was Dr. Lee Robertson was a man who believed in the premillennial return of Christ. And he would preach messages about it. And they would sing songs about it. And when we first got there, the church was running about 1,300 in the auditorium, plus there were some other groups and meeting in other places. But Dr. J.R. Faulkner would lead the singing, And when the choir would come in, the first thing that would happen before the first hymn that was sung, they would come in and he would turn his back to us and he would begin to lead them in. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus, sing it, is coming again. Do you believe that?
Amen.
We would sing songs about it. We would hear messages about it. One of the songs that they put together there was a song, and I don't know whether they put it together or whether they got it someplace else, but they sang it there, and it became a signature song for Highland Park Baptist Church. People would request it when they would come and visit. And when you hear that whole congregation singing it, it would just kind of lift the rafters. And it was in four parts. It would begin with the bass. Behold, he comes. Altos. Behold, he comes. Tenors. Behold, he comes. Soprano. You don't think I can do it, do you?
Behold, he come.
And every eye shall see him. Friend, will you be ready when Jesus comes? And I'll tell you something, folks. I'll tell you something. The people in that church, the students in that school, they were so antsy because we thought Jesus was going to come at any moment.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about how blessed it is to have that blessed hope in us. It's a living hope. Jesus is coming again. Look what it says here. In verse 10, it said that they had given up their idols to serve the living and true God, verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
Right.
Jesus is coming again.
Yes, sir.
Look with me at the end of the chapter, in chapter 2. It says, for what is our hope? Or joy, or crown of rejoicing. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Paul's talking about these Thessalonian believers that he had led to Christ. For ye are our glory and joy. Do you have any glory and joy in heaven?
Amen.
Waiting for you? If you have won souls to Christ, if you have influence people to receive Christ, if you are working at doing it, if you're part of the sowing or part of the watering or part of the reaping, whatever part you play, you will have a crown of rejoicing.
Amen.
In heaven. Let's stand together, bowed heads.